Erev Tov, everybody. It's very, very good to be back. And I say I've been back for a while, but I knew that I'd need time to recover and recuperate. This was a trip that was longer than usual, and for extremely important. I was Toronto. Toronto was fine. Now the truth is that we went because an aunt of ours was very ill. And Taka, we came, she was still alive, and she died a few days after we came. That's why we made the trip a week earlier. Otherwise, I really was only going for the celebrations in West Hempstead of 50 years of the community, and at which they honored the former rabbis. And I'm one of them. And the other rabbi lives on your block, Rabbi Fendel, was the founding rabbi of West Hempstead. Anyway, it's very good to be back in Eretz Yisrael. So we were. Maybe we'll talk about that. No. We're going to learn tonight. Parashat Vayikra. Number one. Finally, the great drama reaches its crescendo, its peak. Yosef reveals himself to his brothers. I mean, this has been going on now since Vayeshev, Miketz, profound tragedy. And now Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, and he wants to console them. They're terrified. They are astounded by what's happening to them. Va'ato, now lo atem shalachtem oti heino, you're not the ones who sent me here. Ki ho Elokim. This was all God's divine plan. He's the one who sent me here. Vayisimeni la'av l'faro, he made me a patron, a father to Paro, la'adon l'chol beito, master of his whole house, u'moshel d'chol eretz Mitzrayim, and the ruler of all of Egypt. That's what's happened to me over here. Maharu v'alu elavi, hurry and go up to my father, v'amar to my love, and you should say to him, ko amad bin cho Yosef, so says your son Yosef. Samani Elokim lo Adon l'chol Mitzrayim, God has made me the master of all of Egypt. Chedo Elai, come down to me. Al tamo, don't wait. Rashi says, and there's the Rashi immediately below it, Valu Elavi. Five words. Eretz Yisrael Gavoa Mikol Ha'aratzot. Obviously what it seems is he wants to explain why is the term alu, go up, why is that used? Because Eretz Yisrael is higher than all of the lands. This is a Gemara in Masech to Kedushin. Rashi, by the way, is going to say Eretz Yisrael Gevor Mikol HaRotzos in Parashat Kitisa. He will say it again. He will say it again in Parshat Devarim, and he will say it again in Parshat Ha'azinu. How do you like that? In Parshat Kitisa, after the sin of the Egel, he says, Rishon says to Moshe, Alei Mizeh, go up from here. Atah v'chol ha'am, you and all of the people are with you. Rashi says, "Eretz Yisrael Gavor Mikol Haratzot." In Parashat Devarim, it says that the Moshe Rabbeinu is telling over the story of the Meraglim, and it says, "Vayikhu biyadam mipri haaretz." Moshe Rabbeinu is saying they took in their hands the fruit of the land, "Vayoridu eleinu," and they brought it down to us. So he says, Vayoridu Eleinu means they brought Eretz Yisrael down to us. Down meaning they lowered, diminished Eretz Yisrael. Rashi says Eretz Yisrael Gavoa Mikol Haratzot. He also says it in Parashat Hazinu, Yarkivehu Albana Te'aretz, God is going to make the Jewish people ride on the heights. On the heights of the earth, the heights of the earth. Where it's a school, Gavor Mikol Haratzos. Rashi also says it in Yeshayahu, chapter 30. By the way, am I duly impressing you? I'm getting there, yeah. Yeshayahu says, "Hoy hayordim Mitzrayim lo Ezra." Woe to those who go down to Mitzrayim to get the help of Mitzrayim. Woe unto those who run to Mubarak. Sir, why does it say Hayordim? Because Eretz Yisrael Kavar Mikol Aratzot. I'm not going to deal with all of those other places. We'll save that for some other time. But this is a question that I asked 30 years ago on this Rashi. 30, maybe even more than 30 years ago. And all of these 30 years, I haven't found anybody who asks the question, and I'm astounded. That's the second time I use the word astounded. I may have to use it again in this year. I'm amazed that nobody asks the question. What's Rashi saying over here? It's a Eretz Yisrael Kavar Mikol Aratzot. Why? Because it says, Alu Elavi, go up to my father. Wait a minute. In Parshat Lech Lecha, Avraham Avinu comes to Eretz Yisrael and it says, Vayehi Ra'av Ba'aretz, there was a famine in the land. Vayered Avram Mitzrayim. Avram went down to Mitzrayim. Wait a minute, Rashi. Why don't you tell us the first time this strange terminology appears? Tell us. You know why it says, Ledor? Go down. He went down to Mitzrayim. Vayeded Avram Mitzrayim. Because Eretz Yisrael, Gvor Mikol Aratzot. If you didn't want to say it on that word, you could have said it a few psukim later. When the whole Mitzrayim episode is over, it says, Vayal Avram. Avram went up out of Mitzrayim. So Rashi should have said, listen, Eretz Yisrael, Gavor, Mikol Aratzos. The fact is, at least 20 times, the term up and down, Yerida and Aliyah, it's used with regard to going from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz, or going from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael. The brothers went down to Egypt to buy provisions. The brothers went up from Egypt. The brothers tell, we can't go down to see that man unless we bring our brother with him. What, at the beginning of this Sedra, the great confrontation between Yehuda and Yosef, well, what's he saying to him? Eich ele el avi, how can I go up to my father and the boy isn't with me? And you're the one who told me, bring down the boy so that I should see him. And Yehuda's talking all the time about up, down, up, down. And Rashi remains silent. At the very last pasuk in Parashat Miketz, after the frame-up of Binyamin takes place, And the brothers are brought back to Tzofnat Paneach, and they say, listen, we'll stay in his place. Let the boy go home. Vayoma, last pasuk in Miketz, Cholilali, God forbid, may I so from doing this. The man in whose hand the cup is found, who yelli evet, he will be a servant unto me. Vatem, and you, alu l'shalom el avichem, go up in peace to your father. Rashi doesn't wake up to tell us Eretz Yisrael Gevor Mikol HaRatzos until this pasuk. Why didn't he say it in any one of the 20 psukim earlier? It's a good tekashi, you should know. It's a very good question, and I'm amazed that I haven't found anybody who asks the question. By the way, I also happen to be very pleased with the idea that this is my little niche in Torah, you understand? This is mine. This Rashi is mine. Huh?
Also, the question earlier, Yosef, each time he sends the brothers back, he uses the word go up.
Yes.
That should be a tip-off to the brothers that he knows.
The point that you've just made is so good. And I tell you, I'm having a problem with it. I still have to give that a lot of thought. The fact that Yosef uses the term Alu earlier should have started bells ringing and lights going off by the brother. Why is he using this terminology? Why is he using this? Ah, so you're going to tell me? I know what you're going to tell me. You told me already. Because you can use the term Aliyah for North and South. Nobody from New York goes up to Miami. You go up to Toronto and you go down to Miami. This is a very important point you're making. If so, then I have a better kasha. So how can Rashi say over here, how does Rashi know that this is related to the fact that Eretz Yisrael is Gavoli Kol Arotzos, that Eretz Yisrael is higher? Maybe he's simply saying, go north, young men, go back home. By the way, we have to take that into consideration. By the way, that's the answer. He's really answering your question. Yeah, he is. It's southwest. It's southwest of Eretz Yisrael. That's really the answer to your question. That the term Aliyah and Yechida can also be used, huh?
In the Negev, you go straight across you in Egypt.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it depends how you hold your head when you look at the map. I mean,
the Negev has to go west.
Huh?
You have to go west.
Southwest. That's the point. Of course you go west. But it's southwest. So, by the way, he is answering your question. All right. So, in Cain, then if up and down is used also with regard to north and south, so how in general can the Gemara? How do we know altogether that Eretz Yisrael Kavara Mikol Arotzos? And why does Rashi say it three times, four times in Torah, and another one in Tanakh? I want to tell you how I read the Rashi. There are two things that I see in this Rashi. Number one, Rashi doesn't always explain something the first time it appears. There are times that Rashi will withhold his pen and choose what he considers to be the most significant place at which to give you this information. I'm going to give you a proof, but I'll tell you what occurred to Rashi when he came to this pasuk. In the whole world, there's only one Jew living in Chutz Laaretz. That's Yosef. All the rest are living in Eretz Yisrael. Yosef is, at that point in time, the only Yoreid in the world. Now, what's extremely significant about Yosef is he's not driving a cab in Cairo. Yosef is the greatest success story in all of history. This man, Yosef, has risen to the very pinnacle, the peak, the apotheosis of power. How do you like all those words? Pinnacle, peak, apotheosis. All right. He's made it. He's made it. The man has become the most powerful person in the world. Of Leparo, Adon Lechol Mitzchayim. Mitzchayim is the great empire of the ancient world. He's a Yerida success story. So, this is the moment at which Rashi says, you want to know the measure of Yosef? It all wasn't worth a thing to him. He still sees Eretz Yisrael as the peak, the pinnacle, and third word, apotheosis. When you hear Yosef say Alu Elavi, the word Aliyah all of a sudden has tremendous and powerful meaning. Rashi may also be saying something else, and in this context it's even more meaningful. Because the moment he said the word Maharu, you know what would have been natural? Maharu Elavi. That's all he had to say. Hurry to my father. He didn't have to say up, down, right, left, nothing. I have this feeling it would have been a little bit better if the heading of Rashi would not merely have been Va'alu Elavi, Ela Maharu Va'alu Elavi. The moment he says Maharu, the most natural thing is Maharu El Avi. Hurry to my father. What do you have to tell him? Directions. Up, down, east, west, north, south. What does Rashi hear when Yosef says Maharu, and to the Maharu, hurry, he adds the Vialu? Because by Yosef, Eretz Yisrael Gevorah Mikol Haaretzot. I'll give you one example. One example of another place where Rashi just remains silent until he decides to tell you the meaning of it all. In Parsha Shemos, Moshe Rabbeinu at the snare. He's at the burning bush. God appears to him, and God tells him, you should know I've seen the suffering and the pain of the Jewish people. I've heard their cries. I'm going to go down to save him, Miyad Mitzrayim, from the hands of Egypt, Ulahalato, and bring him up, Min Ha'oretz Ahiya Leretz Tova Rechova, from that land to a good and wide land, Zavas Cholav Udvash, flowing with milk and honey. Trust me, Rashi doesn't say a thing here. What do you mean, flowing with milk and honey? The Rebbeinu Shlomo says the same thing a second time during the course of his revelation to Moshe at the snare. It says, Vo'omar, and I said to myself, Aletchem, I'm going to take you up, Me'oni Mitzrayim, from the suffering of Egypt, El Eretz Haknani, Hachiti, Hamodi, Abrizi, Chivi, Vayivusi, El Eretz Zavas, Cholav Udvash. I'm going to take you up, and I'm going to bring you to a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, we have to understand, what do you mean? What does flowing with milk and honey? How does it work? What? The streets are paved with gold. This is America, you understand. Listen, what do you mean flowing with milk and honey? You walk through the streets. At the end of Parshas Bo, in one of the parshios that appears in Tefillin, by Rebbe Hashem Moshe Leimor, Kadeshli, called Bechor, sanctified to me every firstborn. It says, Hayom atem yotzim bechodesh ha'aviv, you're going out during the spring. V'hoya ki v'yacha Hashem el eretz haknani achiti hamerev achiv e'evusi. When God will bring you to that land, Hashem nishba la'avotecho la'tetloch, that He swore to your fathers to give to you, eretz zavas cholav u'dvash, a land flowing with milk and honey, you should bring the Korban Pesach and do all of the mitzvahs that I've told you when you come there. Eretz Zavas Chol Advash. The third time it appears in Torah. All of a sudden, Rashi wakes up, and Rashi says over here at the end of Parshat Bo, Zavas Chol Advash, Chol Av Zav Min Ha'izim, milk flows from the goats. The goats are, you know, so fat and healthy. Milk flows from the goats. V'advash, and the honey, zov min hatmarim umin hata'enim, the dates and the figs are so luscious that honey drips from them. Rashi, what did you wait here? Why didn't you tell me this in Parshas Shemos? Why didn't you just say the first time that it says Eretz Zavas Chol Advash? The first time that this great description of Eretz Yisrael, Rashi should have told us over there and finished. Then we understand from the rest of Tanakh, whenever it's going to be referred to as Zavat Chol Advash, we know exactly what it means. Why didn't he say it there? Sagit Kasha? Come on. Let's hear it. Yeah, good. It's a good question. It's a very good question. You know, I need your approval. I need it desperately. It's a good question. So I'm telling you that Rashi over here, I don't have to tell you that Rashi is brilliant. Maybe the fact that I'm able to see Rashi's brilliance over here, that means something. You know what Rashi is doing? Rashi wants to tell us what a brilliant leader and what an educator of such greatness was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu understood one thing. Moshe Rabbeinu, as any good educator has to understand this, that for everything and anything you're going to teach, there always has to be the moment of readiness. Go take a 3-4-year-old and go learn with him at Pashvera Tesis someplace in who knows where. Child isn't ready for it. Every child reaches different stages. There's a stage for Komets Aleph, and then you go to Chumash and to Mishnayos and to Gemara. Yeah, right. Go toilet train a 1-year-old. You'll make the kid a psychological wreck for a whole lifetime, and make yourself a Meshuggah too. Kid, everything has this readiness. The Rabbeinu Shem tells Moshe Rabbeinu by the snare that he's going to bring the Jewish people to a land flowing with milk and honey. Moshe Rabbeinu understands he's going to come to the Jewish people now, and he's going to tell them, God is bringing you to a land flowing with milk and honey. Moshe Rabbeinu understands it will make absolutely no impression. When he comes to the Jewish people, you know what they would like? Get us a 30-minute coffee break during the day. Give us another piece of bread during the day. Just lighten our burden a little bit. A people who are bent and broken and tortured and falling under impossible tasks are not ready to hear anything about an Eretz Zavas Cholov Edvash. They're not ready to hear anything of the sort. When does Moshe Rabbeinu tell them Eretz Zavas Cholov Edvash? The Exodus is over. They're marching out triumphantly. How does Rashi point this out to us? Because it's only there that we hear Moshe saying it to them. And in order to bring to our attention that Moshe is saying it to them only then, that's when Rashi explains to us what Eretz Zavas Cholov Edvash is. Because when he tells it to them, that's when he's going to explain to them. And then they're going to start, they're out of Mitzrayim. They want to go someplace. They want to have something to look forward to. So he tells them about this beautiful, beautiful land that's Eretz Zavas Cholov Edvash, that's somewhere at the end of our journey. This is the moment at which they're ready to hear. This is the moment at which they need to hear it. They have got something to look forward to. They've just turned their backs on everything that they knew in their lifetime and in the lifetime of their parents and their grandparents. Now he gives them something to look forward to. Isn't that clearly what Rashi wants to tell us? So Rashi doesn't always feel compelled to explain something the first time it appears. Sometimes the Rashi will say, no, wait. Eretz Yisrael gavoh mikol ha'arotzos. Rashi waited until you heard the word Va'alu coming out from the most successful Yoreid in all of history. When Yosef says it, and by the way, the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he prayed to go into Eretz Yisrael, Medrash says that one of the things he said to the Rabbeinu Shem was, Atzmos Yosef nichnasin la'oretz v'ani eini nichnas. The bones of Yosef are going to go into Eretz Yisrael, and I can't even be buried there. And by the way, who was the one that took Atzmos Yosef, the bones of Yosef, out of Mitzrayim? That was Moshe Rabbeinu himself. He did it. The response, God's response to Moshe is a very, very sharp one, and we're not going to deal with it now, but I'll just tell you what he says. Yosef shehode bi'artzo v'lo kofa b'artzo. Yosef, who admitted openly to his background that he comes from that land and did not deny his land, he will be buried in Eretz Yisrael. But you, who were not like Joseph, you will not be buried there. And the Medrash goes on to say that when they described Joseph, this fellow that they met in prison, so they said there was a Nar Ivri, there was a Hebrew boy with us. Eretz Yisrael was written all over Yosef. And what did the daughters of Yitro say to Yitro when he asked them, who's the fellow that saved you? Ish Mitzri Hitzilano. I mean, I'm just telling you, This medrash needs a tremendous amount of elucidation and elaboration. So don't anybody ask me now to explain the meaning of this medrash. But it's quite clear that Yosef HaTzadik is known as the great Ohev Eretz Yisrael. And there are other places in Chumash where we're going to see this, but that's enough for now. At least now we're beginning to get an insight into the Rashi. When Rashi says Alu El Avi Eretz Yisrael Kavar Mikol HaRatzos, he knows exactly when to say it. He chooses here because this place is more meaningful than all of the others. Yes. Yes. Oh, there's no question about it that there's a real spiritual dimension over here. It's not necessarily topographical or geographical. Eretz Yisrael, of course, is talking in terms, I mean, we're not saying that Eretz Yisrael is the Himalayas. It's not Everest. Yes, that's true. We also have Yam HaMelech, the lowest place on the face of this earth. I think that's Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, when we're high, we're the highest of all. But boy, when we fall, it's Yam HaMelech. It's Yam HaMelech. All right. Let's go further. Vayalu Mitzchayim, number 3. Vayalu Mitzchayim, they went up from Egypt. Vayavo Eretz Canaan, they came to the land of Canaan. El Yaakov Aviem, to their father Yaakov. Oh, the next two psukim are going to be so amazing. We have to really understand these psukim. Vayagidu Lo Lemor, they told him so, saying, Od Yosef Chai. Yosef still lives. V'chihu Mosheel b'chol Eretz Mitzchayim, he's the ruler of the whole land of Egypt. Vayofeg Libo. Rashi says in number 2, Vayofeg Libo Nechelas Libo V'holach Milahamin. His heart changed, sort of, and moved away from believing. He couldn't believe it. Lo Hoyo Libo Pone El Advarim. His heart could not turn to these words. What does it mean? What does Yaakov Avinu think that his sons are lying, and any minute now they're going to say Abba, April Fool, nah, Yosef is not alive. Can't you take a joke? I mean, you can't take a joke. I mean, what are we talking about over here? What does Yaakov think? Does Yaakov think that these 12 chevra over there, Binyamin amongst them, are telling him a lie? And he doesn't believe. What do you mean he doesn't believe? Wait. So it says, Vayidabru Elov et kol divnei Yosef, they said to him all of the words of Yosef, Asher dibet aleim, that he had said to them, Vayaras vagdolos, and he saw the wagons. Asher sholach Yosef laseto to, that Yosef had sent to carry him, vatechi ruach Yaakov aviem, and the spirit of Yaakov came to life. Yomei Yisrael, from Yaakov he becomes Yisrael. Rav, it's enough. Od Yosef b'ni chai, my son Yosef is alive. El choved enu b'terem omus. I'm going to go and see him before I die. Before I die, what's taking place over here? What do you mean he doesn't believe? He doesn't believe that Yosef is alive. It's not the story. He believes that Yosef is alive. They're not lying to him. He knows exactly what they're telling him. But what did they say? Vayagidu lo lemor, they told him so, saying, Oh, Yosef, Chai, Yosef is still alive, v'chi hu mosheil b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim, and he rules over all of Egypt. Yaakov Avinu achapam kap, and he says, Oy vey. How does a man usually become the ruler of the largest empire in the world? You know how you make it there? By murder. By terror, by killing, by spilling of blood, by stepping over everybody. Yaakov Avinu may have known what Leo DeRosha said. Nice guys end up last. You don't have to know who Leo DeRosha was. This was just for the Americans. This was for the Americans. Nice guys end up last. I mean, if I would know some brilliant word that was said by an Englishman, I would say it, but I don't know any. All right. Okay. How does one become the ruler of the mightiest empire on the face of this earth? What are you talking about? By being a nice guy? No! You claw your way literally to the top. You climb over bodies in order to make your way there. So Yaakov is thinking to himself, this a Yiddish anachas. Sure, Yosef is alive, but is this the kind of Yosef? This the kind of Yosef I raised? Not only that, you know what troubles him even more? He knew Beruach HaKodesh that he will be the one who will build the Jewish people with 12 sons. But if one of them, and Mosali had bothered him all of these 22 years, there are no 12. There's 11. One is gone. What's going to happen with this great destiny of a Jewish people that's going to be come into being through my 12 children I don't have? Now he finally hears that Yosef is alive. Oh, but this is our Yosef. This is Yiddish Anachas. Of Hagoynish Gesuk, this kind of Nachas. That my son is a dictator, a tyrant. So then he saw the Agalos. And Rashi says that Yosef was sending him a coded message. I remember the last parasha in Torah we learned together. The last parasha we learned was the parasha of Eglah Rufa. What's the essence of Eglah Rufa? If a man is found dead on the road someplace in Eretz Yisrael, whose responsibility is it? It's the responsibility of the Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim. They have to send two Gedolei Hador to that little town, and they have to get down on their hands and knees, and they have to measure to the closest city, and in the closest city, the Rabbonim and the Rosh Yeshiva and the Kohanim have to take an Egel, a Kelbala, and go out to a valley, chop its head off, and Kapenoth, give us Chavayishon, Yodeinu lo shafchus Adam hazeh, our hands have not spilled this blood. Tata, I remember what you taught me. I remember, and I know, that the responsibility of leadership is that we carry the guilt for anyone who loses his life through violence. I remained absolutely faithful to everything you taught me. Then all of a sudden he becomes Yisrael, and you know what he says? Vayom Yisrael Rav, Od Yosef Bini Chai. He believed that Yosef was alive. He didn't think the brothers were lying, so of course Yosef is alive. But that's not my son Yosef. And take a look in that pasuk of Maharuv Alulavi, Vamatam Elov, Yosef says, say to him, Ko Omar Bincha Yosef. I wouldn't be a bit surprised that they also told him verbatim that pasuk, Ko Omar Bincha Yosef. And Yaakov doesn't know what to believe. Is it really Beno or is it not Beno? But then when he sees the Agolos and he gets the message that Yosef has sent to him, then he's no longer Yaakov, but he is Yisrael. He becomes Yisrael because now he knows that he is the father of the 12 who are going to be the pillars upon which all of Klal Yisrael is going to stand. And therefore he says, Oh Yosef, Beni Chai, my son Yosef lives. What a difference. It's not Stama Yosef. It's not a killer Yosef. It's not a tyrant Yosef. This is a Yosef who is my son. All right. El Chaved, and I'm going to go see him, but Terem Amos. Vayisa Yisrael, V'chol HaShalom, Yisrael, and all that was with him journeyed. Vayavo Be'ed or Shova. In other words, he was living in Hebron. And he takes the whole family and they're going to Mitzrayim. And he comes to Beersheba, Vayizbach Zvachim Lelekeov of Yitzchak, and he brought sacrifices to the God of his father Yitzchak. Why to the God of his father Yitzchak? By the way, why does he stop in Beersheba altogether? Is there any significance to Beersheba? Of course there's significance to Beersheba. Back in Parshas Toldos, it says the following. There was the struggle that Yitzchak had with regard to the wells. He dug one well and they contended with him. He dug a second well and they fought with him. Finally, he digs a third well, and there is no struggle over it. And then it says, Vayal Misham Be'er, from there he went up to Be'er Sheva. We don't even know why he went up to Be'er Sheva. But what happens in Be'er Sheva? I'm reading in Parshas Toldos. You don't have this on your sheet. Vayedo Elav Hashem Ba'alaylo Hahu, and God appeared to him that night, and he said, that means Hashem appears to Yitzchak where? In Be'er Sheva. Vayomer, and he says, Anochi Elokei Avram Avicha, I'm the God of your father Avram, Al Tira, don't be afraid, Ki Itcha Anochi, I am with you. Where does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Yitzchak, Al Tira, don't be afraid? He tells it to him in Be'er Sheva. Ubeirachticha, I will bless you, V'hirbeiti at Zaracha, and I will make your children many, Ba'avur Avram Avivor, because of my servant Avram. Vayiven Sham Mizbeach. Yitzchak builds an altar there. Vayikra b'shem Hashem. All right. Why does Yitzchak go to Be'er Sheva? If we know why Yitzchak goes to Be'er Sheva, then we'll understand, of course, now why it is Yaakov who goes to Be'er Sheva. Be'er Sheva is the place where God appeared to Yitzchak. We're going to see that Chazal tell us that in Be'er Sheva, that's the place where Avram planted his orchard and made his hotel that he opened up to the whole world. He also planted something else there. He planted cedar trees. And those cedar trees, Yaakov is now going to take them from Be'er Sheva and he's going to take it down to Mitzrayim. And ultimately his children are going to take those cedar trees out of Egypt, and with them they're going to build the Mishkan. Erez. Not Machsom Erez. No, Atzei Arozim. That's what it says, that he built it. What happened over here is the following. In a sense, the closest thing that they had to a kotel were those trees that were planted by Avram. They are also, they're going to be the Mishkan, they're going to be the dwelling place for the divine presence. In a sense, Avram Avinu had turned Be'er Sheva into a holy city. And therefore Yitzchak goes there, and therefore Yaakov now goes there on his way down to Mitzrayim, because Yaakov now is caught on the horns of a terrible dilemma. Yaakov has powerful, conflicting emotions that are tearing him apart from within. He needs guidance now more than he ever needed it before in his life. There's no question about it that he wants to see his son Yosef. There's no question about it. El chaver enu b'terem amos, I want to see him before I die. But he's frightened. I'd say he is absolutely terrified. And that's why Hashem appears to him. What does it say on our sheet? Vayomer Elokim liYisrael, b'maros halayla, Elokim said to Yisrael, in a vision at night, Vayomer, he said, Yaakov, Yaakov, he hears Hashem calling him, Vayomer, he said, Hineni, here I am, Vayomer, and he said, Anochi Hakel Elokei Avicha, I am the God of your father. You're right, you're at the right place. This is the place where I appeared to Yitzchak, and now I'm appearing to you. Interestingly enough, when our Kodesh Baruch Hu there in Toldos appeared to Yitzchak, it says, Vayera Elav Hashem Balaila Hahu. There it's Vayera Elav Hashem, Hashem Yudke Vavke appeared to him. Here it seems that there's something a little bit, there's a certain pallor of darkness. Elokim appears to him Bimaros Halaila. It's not as clear a vision as Vayera Elav Hashem Balaila Hahu by Yitzchak. Because what's reflected over here is exactly how Yaakov feels. Yaakov finds himself in the midst of a terrible, terrible, terrible dilemma. On the one hand, he wants to go to Mitzrayim, he wants desperately to see his son, but he's frightened. He's frightened of going down to Mitzrayim. Why is he frightened of going down to Mitzrayim? Rashi, on our sheet, down below, underlined, Al Tiro Medidom Mitzrayim, the Revelation tells him, don't be afraid of going down to Egypt. You know what's troubling him? He's terribly upset that he has to go out to Chutz Laretz. He doesn't want to go to Chutz Laretz. How do you like that? Meitzar, he's in pain. He's in pain that he has to go to Chutz Laretz. If you want to see how the Medrash expresses it, turn your sheet over and you better have something on the other side, yes. Number 6, the end of the first line of number 6. The Pirkei Derevelozer says the following, Shoma Yaakov al Yosef Shuchai, Yaakov heard about Yosef, that he's alive, v'ho-yom-ahar-her b'libo v'omer, he thought in his heart, and he said, Eich ezov eretz avosai, how can I leave the land of my fathers? That eretz moladiti, in the land of my birthplace. That eretz sheshinato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu betochan, the land where the divine presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in it. Ve'elech al eretz b'nei chom, I should go to the land of b'nei chom. Ve'eretz she'en yira shemayim b'neim, in a land where there is no yira shemayim. He's in great pain that he has to leave eretz. So this medrash I took from a sefer called Chemdat Hayamim, written by Rabbi Yaakov Filby, lives in Kiryat Moshe. He is one of the interpreters of the words of Rav Kook, and I just want to read the comments that he makes on this medrash. He says, Lefomim ata nidham, sometimes you're astounded, ve'eza chedva yoshim yehudim tovim begalut, with what joy good Jews live in galus, yeshivat keva, either they're there permanently, olam nucha v'havra, they're going out for a rest, yeah. V'ilu avinu Yaakov, take a look how our father Yaakov looks at going to Chutz Laretz. Lamchot, despite the fact that Shebenohu Hashalit Hu Amashbir, despite the fact that his son is the ruler and his son is the one who provides for the world, and he knows, Yaakov Avinu knows in Mitzrayim, he will want for nothing. Economically, he's going to be taken care of. He's not going to have to worry another day in his life. In Mitzrayim, he's assured of the best economic conditions. There's a famine. The fact that he's going to be very comfortable economically in Mitzrayim doesn't make a dent on him at all. He trembles before the defilement of Chutz Laretz. So that's one of the reasons. That's how Rashi says it. Rashi says that what he's afraid of is the fact that he has to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Chutz Laretz. So therefore he has to be assured. So the Rebbe Shem tells him, Al tiro medidom Mitzrayim, don't be afraid of going down to Egypt. By the way, you of course have noticed, and you will continue to notice, that the Rebbeinu Shem uses the terms Yechida and Aliyah. I'm going to make you a great nation there. Onochi eredi mecha Mitzrayimah. I'm going to go down with you to Mitzrayim. Vonochi aolcha gam olo, and I'm also going to come up with you. Yosef yoshis yodo aleinecha, and Yosef will place his hands over your eyes. He's going to take care of you. Many of the Mefarshim learned that there's something else that is troubling Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu is terribly frightened of what's going to happen to his children. You see, because he has learned something during the course of this night in Beersheba, something that was definitely not part of his plan. Yaakov's plan was, Eilech ved enu, I'm going to go see him before I die. I'm going to see him, and I'm going to come back. Do you know what happens that night when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him in a dream? You know what he tells him? You're not coming back. And Rashi points that out. V'anochi alcha, I'm going to bring you up. Hifticho lihiyot nikbar ba'aretz. God promises him you're going to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. You're not coming back. You're not walking or riding back to Eretz Yisrael. You're going to be brought back to Eretz Yisrael. And Yaakov therefore understands now that this journey to Mitzrayim is the beginning of that which had been said to Avraham Avinu, that your children are going to be strangers in a land that's not theirs for 400 years. And now he is terrified what's going to happen to his children during the course of those 400 years. Are they going to survive spiritually the onslaught of being a minority amongst a dominant culture which is absolutely antithetical to everything that's Jewish? He's afraid, vas that zayin mit de kinder. And of course he does receive a guarantee, I'm going to make you there, legoy gadol asim chasham, I'm going to make you into a great nation there. So that Yaakov Avinu has a lot to be worried about. And by the way, he had good reason to be terrified. Don't Chazal tell us that the Rabbi Shem took Jews out of Egypt before they were submerged in the quagmire of Egypt? But ultimately, the experience of Egypt it's necessary. We gave a few years ago, we said a few shurim on why the Mitzrayim experience was necessary. The Kor HaBarzel, the purifying of the Jewish people, what the Jewish people, the Rav of Soloveitchik describes it in the following manner. He says, one is able to tell the difference between colors, for example, by, you know, you take two different colors and put them next to each other, and then the closer they are, the better you can tell the difference between them. Certainly if you're going to have to differentiate between a black and a blue, you understand, that gets a little difficult as one grows up. But the sharp, even the sharp contrasts of two different colors, they are sort of, you see them so much more clearly when you have them side by side. So the Rav says, Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim were described as Kishoshana Bein HaChochim, like a rose amongst the thorns. Can you imagine a single rose amongst the thorns? The beauty of the rose is against the backdrop of the thorns. So the Rav said, Klal Yisrael had to come face to face with absolute evil so that they should be able to differentiate. They had to feel evil. They had to learn what cruelty is, so that they would be forever purged and cleansed of that kind of cruelty, banality, and evil, and they should be able to identify it and see it clearly. And then that experience is what's going to stand them in good stead throughout all of history. Sometimes I wonder a little bit. Sometimes I wonder, you know, I think that we are facing absolute evil. absolute evil. And yeah, we're going to make deals with them. And I try to control myself. You know, I can't control myself more than what 50 minutes without making a comment about. I don't understand what's going on. It's absolute evil. Absolute evil. These are murderers, rotzchen, bloodthirsty. There's anarchy going on over there. They're all walking around with guns. Boy, do you see them with these? I very rarely watch the news anymore, but it's last night of something. I wanted to watch something. So you see with their black, the black masks with the guns, machiste, mahargit, mahargit, eaten. And some of our people can't see evil when it stares them in the face. It's unbelievable. In Mitzrayim, we finally got it, and 3,500 years later, some of our people just don't get it. They don't get it. It's a profound, profound tragedy. Something is going to happen around here. All right. So that therefore, Yaakov Avinu understands the necessity for the Mitzrayim experience, but he's frightened of it. And that's why the Rebbeinu Shem has to say, tell him, Al tira medidom Mitzrayimah, you personally don't be afraid. I know that you personally are upset about the fact that you have to go out to Chutz Arts. Don't be afraid of going down to Mitzrayim. I'm going to be with you there. And if you're concerned about your children, so you should know, I'm going to make you into a great people there. All right, well, I'll just go through number 8 on the other side just for a few moments. I took a quote there from a sefer called Emes Liakov, Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky. Says Masha Otza Yaakov Beersheva. He talks about one of the questions that we spoke about earlier, and he says that why does Yaakov stop in Beersheva, b'darkol Mitzrayim, on his way to Egypt? So he says, I explained it already. B'chidushai le'el, the parashas told us, Beersheva ha'oisa mekom menuchosam v'nechemosam shel ha'avos beis sarosam. Beersheva was the place where the avos, at a time of crisis or difficulty in their lives, the place where they received a certain degree of respite or a place where they found consolation was Be'er Sheva. V'hainu mikivam. Why? Because Avram nota arozim be'er Sheva. Avram planted cedar trees in Be'er Sheva v'shvil binyan ha-mishkan. That's a medrash, and he brings, cites the medrash in Bereishis Rabbah. Niskade shamako, and the place became holy. It was a source of consolation to the others. What they learned from those trees was that in the future they will leave the Golas and they're going to build the Mishkan. Therefore, Yitzchak Acha Shegirsha Avimelech, after Avimelech cast him out of the land of Plishtim, Holach Leber Sheva, Ubanosham Mizbech, and there he built a Mizbech. The Gam Yaakov Kodem Aknisol Golas, Yaakov, before he enters Golas, Holach leber sheva kedei lishov nechama, in order to draw from their consolation. Shachin yetsu bnei Yisrael mitzchayim, that Klal Yisrael will leave Egypt. Therefore, he was zoveach zvachim. The pasuk said lelakei aviv Yitzchak, because that's the place where Yitzchak built the mizbeach. Mendei she Yitzchak bono shom mizbeach. Therefore, the korbanos that he brought are called al shem aviv Yitzchak. All right, I think that we may have begun to understand what Rashi means when he says there it's Yisroel Gavor Mikol Arotzos. We understand sort of the conflicting, powerful emotions that overwhelm Yaakov as he's on his way to Mitzrayim. We understand what it means that Yaakov's heart was faint. He didn't believe that. What do you mean he didn't believe that his son Yosef, that Yosef is alive? I think that there the psukim are so beautiful. Sure, he believes Yosef is alive, but he doesn't believe that it's Yosef Beno until he sees the Agolas. Okay, I think, you know, after a few weeks, this is enough for tonight, you know, huh?
Also say, when you're
Does he? I don't know. I'll look. Good kasha. By the way, we are going to have class next week, even though it's after the fast.